All right. Testing. 1, 2, 1, 2. It's MC Johnny T, aka you know who. Ric Flair is in the building, aka the 1986 Shoulder Pop Champ of the World. Yes, we're doing big things around here. I'm joined by none other than the queen of everything, the CEO, the chief rocker, boom shakalaka of everything related to Punk Demic. How are you doing today, Miss So-and-so?
Doing well, a little warm. But other than that, I'm excited about today's guest. I can't wait.
I think it's going to be pretty good. She's a riot. Boom, doom, shh. That'll make sense in a few minutes. Anyway, I'm having a little fiber. The doctor says I should increase the fiber just a little bit more. So there's no time like the present to follow the doctor's orders.
Wow.
Now, they say it's not good to eat and do stuff like that while you're podcasting and in front of the camera.
During the introduction?
It's doctor approved.
The doctor's not here. Okay, let's No snacking during the intro, sir. God.
The 1986 Shoulder Pop Champ will adhere to that. Only for you, okay? Anyway.
Are we... I'm trying to be professional and studious today.
I am too. You are getting an A-plus performance from yours truly. I'm playing by the rules, doing everything the right way.
Is that a thing? We're going to discuss that at some point because I don't even know what that is. You made that. Let's go, Johnny Taylor.
All right. Well, before we bring in our guest, it would be absolutely insane of me not to remind all of you that the best way to support the podcast is to support the product. And you can find our products at punkdemic.com. That's right, punkdemic.com is the destination site where you can find everything Punk Demic: t-shirts, tank tops, hoodies. It doesn't feel like the right weather for hoodies today, but you know what? It's the best time to get them because the price is right and you'll be ready for the fall. You're 90 days ahead of the trend. Be a trendsetter. Don't be the one to forget your order at punkdemic.com. Punkdemic.com. That's punkdemic.com. Go get your stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because I got a coffee habit that I need to support, as well as a snacking habit, too. So go ahead and go buy some stuff.
I just finished my actually right now. So,
oh, new design?
What's up?
You say you just finished your
coffee.
Ah, coffee. Today's been a long day, but you know what? I feel like somehow the things are just going to get so much better because I pick up good vibes from our guests that we have coming on today.
Bring her.
She's fantastic. She's incredible. Wonderful. Incomparable. I've been reading at the thesaurus lately, working on synonyms. We got to keep the intros a little more interesting. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to be like, she's a fantastic guest. Got to do some other words, too.
I appreciate your synonyms and all, but let's bring her out.
Let's do that. Please welcome to the show, Susie Riot. We're working on real sound effects.
Thank you for having me.
He keeps saying we're working on sound effects. However, I know he will completely abuse it if I give him something like a clap button or something. So I'm in no hurry to actually get the sound effects because it'll be horrible if he gets a hold of it. It's so bad. Like, I'm not interested in it. Johnny Taylor?
You are interested in it. You just don't know it yet. That's all that it is.
Okay. See you later, buddy. I'm going to do my thing now. You can go.
All right. Well, until next time, folks, I'm going to step out for just a few minutes. I have a great idea. I think it's a good idea for me to just step out for a quick minute. You know, work on these snacks over here. And we're going to take you to an incredible interview with Susie Riot at Amazon, the queen of everything.
Later. Oh, my God. My God. You can't find good help these days, you know? Anyway, so.
I love their effects. But
what's that?
I love their effects.
Right. Well, we made them ourselves. We tried a different platform for like 2 episodes, and there was a horn button and a clap button, and he just abused it to death. So I don't want him to get a hold of it. But anyway, I try to conduct each episode like I don't know you or anything about you so that you can inform me and we can learn more about you that way. So please tell me, introduce yourself. Tell me about yourself, and then we'll go on from there.
Well, my name is Susana Sepulveda. I also go by Susie Riot, and I am the co-founder and co-organizer of PunkCon alongside my comrade Marlene Rios Hernandez, an assistant professor of Chicana-Chicano Studies at CSUF. I'm a Chicana and feminist punk scholar, and I'm an assistant professor in residence of gender and sexuality studies in the Department of Interdisciplinary Gender and Ethnic Studies at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. I was raised in Los Angeles, California, and I'm also the front woman for Las Sangronas del Cabrón, a LA-based punk band.
I'm excited. Okay, go ahead. I'm trying not to fangirl. Go ahead.
And I'm also the founder and organizer of the Riot Girl Carnival, a feminist punk fundraiser show for local community-based organizations in LA that has been hosted for about a little over 10 years, I feel now, at The Smell, an all-ages DIY music venue and in downtown LA.
So I've been wanting to link with the Riot Girl deal forever. And so we'll talk about that in a minute, too. So what don't you do, first of all? You're a professor of all the things, from what I understand. How did you end up in Las Vegas from Los Angeles?
It was a snowball effect. So I, you know, was going to community college in Glendale Community College, Glendale, California. And then I transferred to UC Santa Cruz. And from there, it just, you know, I didn't expect to go to grad school. I didn't expect to become a professor with a doctoral degree, at least. But I had the aspiration to get my women's studies degree. And so I went to Santa Cruz and got a double major in feminist studies and Latin American and Latino studies. And then from there, it just kind of snowballed into like, oh, it's more than a master's now. It's going to be a doctoral. So trying to get my master's along the way. But
I was teasing Marlene. I was telling her, I go, man, how does it feel to have a doctorate in punk rock? I was like, you're person I've ever met in my life. She was like, no. I'm like, that's so neat. You know, I go, I'm just going to call you Dr. Punk Rock. She was like, oh my gosh. So I just think it's really interesting. What motivated you to go into the feminine studies and Chicano studies and all of that?
Yeah. So, I feel like punk was it politicized me. So I feel like that was my entry into more active feminism and kind of social justice movements or oriented movements. And so just from local Riot Girl bands, Chicana Latina fronted Riot Girl bands in Los Angeles, like Bruce Violet, Riot This, bands that I looked up to as a teenager. Like that was kind of my introduction to feminist punk and Riot Girl. And when I started going to school, like I started taking like women's studies classes in community college, and that was just kind of like, it just kind of fit for me. And that's where I decided that I want to be a women's studies professor and of some capacity, and just kind of continue to talk about feminist issues. And that kind of taking other like Chicana feminist courses and Latinx studies courses, it also kind of helped empower me culturally, but also find other forms of politicization in local communities or working with local communities. And yeah, like I think that it just kind of, all of my passions kind of merged in that way.
So how do you feel about the term Chicana, Chicano, and the Latinx? Like I read lots about it. There was always, every time there's a new term, there's some kind of a controversy about the terminology and everything. What do you think about how it's changed over time, what people address each other as, and what do you think about Latinx? That's a good one. What, explain, Lucy, explain.
Latinx, it is a complicated term. I teach it because I also teach Introduction to Latinx Studies in my department at UNLV. The way that I tell students is, you know, it's a keyword, like it's a complicated, difficult term to kind of unpack because it's so layered with different social, historical, and cultural contexts that, you know, even just the term Latina, Latino, but the gendered elements of it, creating it, trying to create a more inclusivity beyond the Spanish kind of a gendered language. I recognize those aspects, but it's also still a controversial term. So I use it, I guess, in context to kind of highlight how Latina, Latino, Latinx identities have been changing, and new social formations, identity formations are kind of forming with new kind of political contexts. So that's kind of how I approach it and think about it. I identify as a Chicana, a Latina, and I haven't really used the term Latinx, but I do recognize this context in terms of thinking about more gender inclusivity and, you know, thinking about it beyond gender binaries that exist in Spanish language.
Well, and I'm still learning the ones that exist in the English language. Again, when I was speaking to Marlon about the book and things like that she was working on, there was all these different terms that she used, and I go, please excuse me if I don't know what all of them mean. At some point, I had to stop and ask her, what does that mean? I'm older than I look, you know, no comment there. But so some of it's new to me. Then when I was in the music scene or in the punk scene, I'm gone from it. I'm not gone from it. But we didn't have all those terms. And it seems like every year there's a new one. And I got to ask the young people, what does that mean? You know, but I think it's better to ask rather than offend someone or not want to be informed, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't have the gender, the he, she, her, him, they. That, growing up, I don't remember any of that in the 80s or early 90s, not that I remember. It's hard to keep up with all the different terms that are coming out now, right? And so the Latinx one, I remember when I first read it or heard it, I was like, oh my gosh. And you teach on it, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's the language component of it. I feel like it's not something I go into too much into my class because it's just introduction to Latinx studies. But I also frame it as Latina/Latino/Latinx studies. So I try to, again, kind of recognize the history of the term throughout the class and kind of the different social and cultural contexts that have shaped the meanings.
That's awesome. Do you know where it comes from by any chance? Like who started using that term originally?
And so that, you know, like something to kind of think about, like the, you're putting me on the spot as a professor here. I feel like it did come out of like kind of queer and, queer and gender non-binary movements in the U.S. via Latina and Latino identified folks that were kind of challenging those contexts. But part of the problems with it is also that it doesn't translate very well to especially to immigrants. So immigrants from Latin America that come to the U.S., you know, like even just the pronunciation of the X is kind of different dialectically or just, you know, verbally. And so the one of the terms that has also been used that is gaining more weight is Latine. So with an E, so as opposed to the X. So it's a little bit more friendly to Latin American immigrants, more contemporarily, I suppose.
That's so cool. So tell me about PunkCon. How did you get going? What motivated you to start it? Just tell me all about it, because honestly, I'm learning as I'm talking to you more information about PunkCon and what it is and all of that.
Yeah, well, so PunkCon, it's a biennial, not biannual. That was kind of one of the corrections we made, because we thought biennial was every other year, but it's biennial. So it's a biennial one-day conference. So it's every other year. And it's a one-day conference and show dedicated to celebrating the diversity of punk artists, musicians, and scholars. One of our aims is to center the voices and experiences and cultural work, including scholarship of queer, trans, and people of color in punk cultures. And the conference has featured various panels and roundtables with scholars, artists, and activists, as well as workshops. And we featured like keynote speakers and invited honorees who we kind of recognize as like punk icons that have kind of paved the way for future generations of punks. So we have some of our honorees have included icons such as Alice Bag, Kid Congo Powers, and Tequila Mockingbird. And there's also the show component to the event, to the conference. So we try to end the conference with a show, like a music festival or like a small one, with local bands and artists. And we also have had vendors. So it's kind of like an all day just kind of gathering. And it's we have conversations. People have like discussions of what they share, you know, the scholarship of what they're doing in regards to punk or how it relates to punk in some ways. And for the most part, it's kind of a punk conference for punk scholars and artists. So, yeah, like it kind of emerged out of the interests that Marlene and I have of kind of like bridging these two different worlds that we kind of exist in, like in bridging our punk communities and our scholarly communities. So like, how can we make that kind of bleed into one another? Because that's kind of like what we do in terms of as professors, as scholars, as educators, like we're drawing from, you know, we teach punk in some of our classes. And I know I do, at least in all my classes, there's at least one unit on punk and how it helps us talk about like the themes or concepts of the class, how we can talk about relations of power, gender, race. But yeah, so that's kind of how it emerged. That's a little bit about what it's about, but it actually started in 2019 as the UCR PunkCon. Partly because Marlene was finishing up her graduate studies at UCR, UC Riverside, and so like that she got some funding to kind of create it there, and she invited me to co-organize it with her. And I was finishing up my doctoral degree at the University of Arizona at the time, so again it kind of like snowballed trajectories, so I came on with her, like we were talking about it in around 2018 and then organized it in 2019. And that was just kind of like a big showcase, like of just what we could do. And so we decided to continue, but then the pandemic happened. And so like the second one, 2021 was a virtual conference. So it was just like one keynote with a professor, Ricky Rodriguez from UCR. And so by then it was still kind of UCR PunkCon. They moderated the keynote with Tequila Mockingbird, Josie Reck, and Christy Martinez, who's also like a PhD student at UCLA. And they kind of talk about punk and indigeneity in Southwest. I think it was until the third one, 2024, last year, when we had like our third conference, that we kind of self-affiliated as a conference. So we're no longer UCR PunkCon, like we're just PunkCon. Part of it is also just we would like it to move wherever we're at, as either in terms of academia, like in our house or respective institutions. So last year we hosted it at Cal State University of Fullerton, where Marlene teaches. Next year for 2026, the goal is to bring it to University of Nevada, Las Vegas. So hopefully we can bring it.
I'm looking forward to that. So how do you get do you have to go through like an approval process with the university to do it? And then have you met any opposition with doing PunkCon at the university?
They've been yes. So in terms of putting it on, you do have to have some form of institutional support. So different like student affairs, if it's going to be kind of like student related events, that will kind of support and approve it. But it's like one of the challenges that we have faced is kind of like financially, and also thinking one thing that like I kind of like have realized more and more entering the academy as a non-tenure track professor is that there's not a lot of funding for teaching professors. So I'm assistant professor in residence, but like my teaching, it's mostly teaching and service load. So any research that I do is extra. And so even applying for like institutional grants, it's limiting. So that's kind of like one of the challenge of like, where can we get pockets of money that would fund us, especially at this time when like a lot of like DEI programs and initiatives are also being nationally attacked. But hopefully we can manage and find some form of support either through different departmental support, like if there are sponsors, student clubs, and and even maybe thinking like just fundraising it ourselves. But it does feel like a very DIY endeavor doing this. So
punk rock, right? DIY is punk rock. So yeah. It kind of, it fits.
Yeah, it does.
So I don't usually bring Johnny in the middle, but he's also in education. So Johnny, I wanted to ask you if you had any questions for her in regards to what she's doing and how they're putting it together at the college campuses or anything. I feel like you might have had something to ask or contribute to that part because you know more about the inner workings of the educational system than I do. Anything?
You know, I'm not surprised to hear that you have to have the DIY ethos. In that space, I'm not surprised to hear that really at all. I'm an alum from Cal State Fullerton as well. And during my time there, way back in the 1900s, a lot of professors were looking to do things in certain types of spaces like that. And they had I's dotted and T's crossed and still were unable to get things to happen like that on the campuses. So I think it's great that you're able to get. There's been some type of progressive thinking on some level at some university somewhere where it's not outright denied. I just don't like that people still have to jump through so many hoops and hurdles to do something that's serving a segment of the campus community that, well, they're receiving money for serving on some level. So I don't know. It's one of those kinds of things where it's like, it's progress, but is it really? And then and the other thing about it is like, well, how come universities just have to be so university-ish about everything, man? At the time, the big thing that they were trying to do at Cal State Fullerton, they wanted to get more diversity in the kind of bands that they were booking for lunchtime shows. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so they honored that with one R&B performance.
What? One? Wow.
For 2 years. They hung their hat on it like, well, we had such and such a group come out and perform.
And that was the diversity.
And there we had it. So the fact that you guys were even able to get anything to happen on that campus, I think that's just pretty dope overall.
Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that there aren't pockets of money or just support, institutional support that we can find, but it does, you know, we got to get creative with it. So it becomes kind of like, okay, like working with students so that maybe we can rent rooms for free, right? Because yeah. Working with student orgs is kind of one way to kind of get resources that we might not otherwise as just faculty. So there's also that, like just kind of finding ways to do it. It's very DIY, very grassroots oriented. And I think that's also what I feel like kind of differentiates us from other academic punk conferences that, you know, we do work with what we have. So it's kind of limited. And a lot of student support, like volunteers, have helped us, and community support has, you know, either sponsorship from like Razor Cake Magazine, right, who has sent us some like zine subscriptions or magazine subscriptions for raffles so we can kind of gain money or raise money that way. Or just like PM Press has also given us some books that we can raffle off to generate some funds. So that's kind of how we've been like funding ourselves and, you know, applying to grants when we can. If we're lucky, we get them. So we did get like a grant last time for hosting it at CSUF. But yeah, it's just kind of working with what we have and what opportunities come our way.
Well, but nothing, you haven't come across anything that would have just outright discouraged you guys. Like, did you guys ever have this conversation like, oh, I don't know, this is going to happen? I mean, at any point in your process for organizing it, then I'm thinking back to ahead of the pandemic, because you were able to at least launch one off before you kind of had to pivot some different directions.
Yeah, and it might be having to do something similar, maybe mm-hmm. a webinar if we don't end up getting funds for it, like for a non-campus event. So we might do something like that, but. Hopefully we can bring it to UNLV. And I think like, again, just kind of like in terms of the financial resources or in-house institution support, it's just about really getting creative with where I can find pockets of money to kind of like have the institution support us. Because, you know, again, like there's like pockets of money that are available for tenure track faculty that are more research oriented and not so many, where maybe like teaching faculty such as myself, like we don't have access to those funds. So yep. Kind of finding ways to kind of like, where can I apply?
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So I was going to tell you that, of course, I just got more work for you to do, sir, because I'm really, really, really excited to volunteer Punkdemic to support it in any way we can. I because Punkdemic is me. You're looking at Punkdemic. It's me and Johnny Taylor. We sponsored an event called Punk Island in New York this year. It's on June 8th. They have a stage that's all Black, and they call it the POC, the People of Color stage. So we helped fund that event. And then June, I think it's the 22nd in Houston. And it's called the Black and Brown Fest, I believe. And I decided to sponsor that as well. So we're definitely offering you some support in any way we can. So Johnny, get ready to get some posts up there to do some sharing of whatever it is they're working on. And then also a small financial donation as well. I'd like to help with that. I'm not really sure. I'm vending. You know, Punkdemic is also... has a whole line of merchandise that's extremely punk oriented as well. And so, yeah, we'll help out in any way we can. I really think it's fantastic.
Thank you so much. That's,
you know, Yao gave me the information to reach out. He's a really good friend of mine. And he goes, Amazon, this is you. And I saw it and go, oh my gosh, I didn't know much about PunkCon. And it blew me away. I was really, really impressed. You're very impressive on paper, by the way. I don't have a degree in anything. And I chose to be a mom and kind of that was my route for a long time. I was dedicated to that. And so I put off my education a little bit more during that time. So it's really commendable. I really, really like that. So Johnny, yeah, we're going to have some work to do. I don't know when it's going to be yet, but you please keep me in the loop. let me know. And then, are you going to be bringing bands from everywhere when you do the music part of it to Vegas, or how do you usually do that?
Well, so firstly, thank you so much. That sounds incredible. I love Punk Island. I've been to it once, but that's an amazing event, festival. For the shows, we tend to highlight local bands. So like at CSUF, we had a lot of Santa Ana-based bands or artists kind of perform. And so at UNLV, we would love to kind of highlight more of like the local community of punk. So this is my third year, I'm going into my third year living here in Las Vegas. And I know that there's like the Punk Rock Bowling Festival that happens here. And now there's like also the Punk Rock Museum near the Strip. But it's also very like a hardcore city. So it's what I've heard and it's what I've seen in terms of like going out to shows at pizza places, like very DIY oriented. And so I would love to kind of capture the Black and Brown youth that are kind of like at the center of these scenes in Las Vegas. So
any way I can help out, I will. I have a good friend of mine that moved from down here to Vegas, and his band performs out there sometimes. Like they've been out for a long, long time. But he might know of some other bands locally in Vegas. I'll definitely put like my ear to the ground a little bit and see if I hear of anybody else that he knows of out there. I just think it's awesome. I'm just really excited for what you're doing. Tell me about your band. Right? Like, tell me.
So my band is La Sangrona del Cabrón. So it's I sing and play a little guitar. And Angie Barrera, Angie Rata, she plays guitar. And Luigi is Luis Galvez. They play the drums. We formed in high school. So we met in high school. We started a band since then. And we've been playing on and off for years since then. So band loyalty. But so we play once a year sometimes. And it really is just the Rag Girl Carnival. So it's the festival that I put on at the Smell. We're like the house band for the Rag Girl Carnivals most of the time.
And fill me in on that too. Like I said, whatever I can do. And I don't think I've ever been, to be honest. And I'm not sure why. It could be anything. I actually have grandchildren. So like when I say I'm spread thin, like I'm all over the place. But that sounds like it's something that's right down my alley, to be honest. I was talking about one of my first shows that I went to that was actually, well, in a venue and not in the backyard or whatever. And it was Bikini Kill.
Oh, wow.
And I was saying that freaking blew my wig back. Like as a young person, I was like, oh, shit. Yes, I said shit. That was it for me. Don't start. I said it twice. Oh, my God. You're not the boss of me. I'm the boss of you. CEO, good day. Did you see the glasses? He did the whole thing. But, yeah, that was one of my first chosen a venue, and I was underage and got in because I was an Amazon. I was tall and big, and I just pushed like an amp. I used to just push an amp through the back door. And so it blew my mind and opened up my world, honestly, to Riot Girls and the whole thing. So please keep me in the loop on that, too. That's awesome. And then that's here in L.A., right?
Yes. So it's always been, I've been lagging with coordinating for this year. Like we had one early in the year. So it's like part one. And then like, we're going to have part two, either this, like if I can coordinate either this summer, or like late in the year. But yeah, it's also a fundraiser. So for the last 5 years or so, it feels like now, we've been donating or raising funds, like, so all proceeds from the show go to like a community-based organization. And, you know, we've kind of partnered up for the last 5 years with CR Cella, the Chicas Rockettes of Southeast LA. So a rock camp for girls and gender expansive youth based in Southeast LA.
I'm familiar with them.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so I've also volunteered with them, and Angie, she's also one of the organizers now. So it's kind of like the band and CR Cella volunteering and PunkCon, like our worlds are just kind of melding.
I love it, and it's really like I try to be in the loop as much as I can and connected as much as I can, and so I'm just happy that he just threw me a link like here, Amazon, look at this, and I was like, oh. You know, and so I'm trying to like inform myself and get a little more educated on what it is you guys do. So you're going to play this year then, your band?
I hope so. Yeah, it's still in the works, but yeah.
I'm there now. You should never call me. They're going to be
I'll let you know the date once I confirm things.
What's that?
I'll let you know the date when I confirm things. Please.
By all means. Is there anything else you want to discuss about PunkCon? Because I really... Instead of asking you a bunch of questions, I was like, I'm just going to bring her on so everybody can hear about it. How do you choose like the panelists when you have them come on to discuss things?
So for keynotes and honorees, like we've kind of reached out to people that we like that we think like would be kind of like a great mashup in conversation sometimes. Like maybe there's like they're very intergenerational in a lot of ways and diverse, but racially and culturally. But so we kind of like to kind of highlight that or see what happens, what kind of conversations like folks will have. And sometimes they link, it's really uncanny. Just like, there's so much that folks have to say. I don't know, like the conversations just blossom into something really beautiful. But it's also an open call in terms of the panels and roundtables, like presenters that are workshops and vendors. So that's kind of been an open call. And so like it's not just scholars, so like people with degrees necessarily. There are also independent scholars or people that just kind of have been creating zines for years and want to do a workshop. Or who run independent record labels and are just going to have, are going to be vending, but also have a roundtable discussion of just like what it's like to run an independent record label. And so, I just want to like, also maybe if y'all are interested, maybe if you all want to come and talk about what it's like to have an independent podcast and, that's punk oriented, like that would be really great. But yeah.
Sign us up. We're in. We're in. You know, it's a tremendous undertaking to do these types of events. There's always a large ramp up for the planning and organizing part of it. And then the stress of the actual moment when it's there. But then when it's over, it's like, God, that was fast. Like the actual event itself is quick. Feeling because all of the work that it takes to make it happen and to build on it. So I commend you for doing it. You have planted roots in a lot of different places, and I think you have a lot of trees and branches that are going to develop because of all of the work that you're doing. You've done a lot of foundational things to really, really leave a mark on your culture, which I think is really, really good. Because, you know, I don't believe it's only just in hip hop, but we run with the phrasing culture vulture, but I believe that that exists probably just across every other aspect of the arts as well too. And the one thing about punk is it's very niche and very protected by those that are true to that. And so I think it's good that you are positioning things to be still organic in its feel on larger platforms. I think that's a great thing. Are you finding it a difficult balance to keep?
Thank you for those words. Yes. But yes, it is difficult to balance, especially like the day of the show, like either the Riot Girl Carnival or at PunkCon. It goes by so fast. And sometimes I don't have the chance to kind of like enjoy like performances or step into to kind of like hear some of the panels. Like, I feel like it's hard not because I want to participate, but I'm like, you know, it's so much part of like doing the backstage work, right? Where you're helping everything run smooth, you're getting some waters for folks, or you're doing tech setup for one room and then moving to the next one. So sometimes like it just goes by so fast, and you feel like your participation in it was really just having it flow. And so sometimes it's really nice to have those moments of just taking it all in and just like, I help make that happen. It's a community endeavor and it's out of love. Like really, like we don't get paid for any of this. Like, you know, like it's, it is just creating a space that like, a space we would like to see for ourselves, but other like marginalized punks in the academy or just adjacent. To have, right, in terms of access to institutions as well, because these are public institutions and, you know, like it's nice to take up space in these spaces.
If you had a choice, are there any, and you mentioned earlier you're hosting these events in your homes where you're currently working, but if you could pick a place outside of an institution that you currently to contribute for it, and you know, from an occupational standpoint, what would be some universities or even just regions or cities where, man, if money were no object and I had a chance to execute this event here, God, it would be great to be able to do this event. Fill in the blank.
I feel like bringing it to community spaces like The Smell, like a DIY all ages music venue, right? It's all volunteer run. Organizations like Ciarcela, right? Like that just can kind of, we all kind of participated in some way. Ciarcela folks have like vended at PunkCon. Existing outside of the institution, I don't know necessarily where it would happen. Maybe like Punk Island at a park, right? Like that would be cool. But I think it's also about like, I think it is important to take up these institutional spaces that, you know, like might be elite for some, but it's kind of like also like, for the most part, this has happened at public schools, right? Yeah. Like PunkCon. So I think that's important. You know, like I'm a nerd, you know, like, so I'm an academic nerd. And I do like, you know, academia has its dark side, of course, but, you know, I do like academia. I do like scholarship. And so I pride myself in that, like being a doctorate, right? Like, but I don't want it to be exclusive. Right. Or elitist. Right. So it's kind of like, how can you also create space and make bridges for community members to kind of take up space in these spaces? And one thing that I always love to do or wanted to do with the Rag Girl Carnival, because it's like a carnival, right? It's a riff off like the Bikini Kill song Carnival. But I wanted it to travel because like carnivals like, mm-hmm. in my hometown, they, you know, we're in one city and then the next. So I wanted to see it travel. And so like, since that didn't happen, it became kind of housed at The Smell, which, you know, Jim Smith at The Smell, like they've been for years, great supporters and have allowed us to kind of like have this annual event there, for all these years. And, but for PunkCon, like, I think the advantage is that it can travel like in based on whatever academic institutions Marlene and I are housed at or affiliated with, or that, or other institutions that might be willing to support us, right? That might be willing to like have us that year, like as visitors or guests to run the PunkCon that year there. It's a lot of bureaucratic and red tape in kind of doing that, but that would be the dream if money was no object. Like, what universities or community colleges even, like, can we go to next, right? And just kind of bring PunkCon to the people.
That'd be great. I think that'd be really, really great. So we lost Amazon.
Oh, no.
That means I'm in charge now. Now it's my show. She'll see this later. Miss you, Amazon. Hope you find your way back soon. But we are coming close to where we're going to wrap up anyway. So I like for you to take this moment. This is the time where you get a chance to plug anything you'd like to plug for those who are listening. And I feel like this is going to be an episode that is going to be very well received because of the demographic of a lot of our listeners. So I want you to take this opportunity to plug whatever you've got going on. Let listeners know where and how they can connect with you. Any of your socials, any of your websites. If people want to get involved, if they want to make a contribution for PunkCon or anything else that you have going on, this is the time to run it. And action.
So PunkCon, we do have like a Venmo, so at PunkCon official, I believe. Or you can go to our webpage, which is PunkCon_official. PunkCon-official.com. And so you can donate to any of our Venmo or PayPal accounts. I'd also like to just give a shout out to Ciarcela, who are having their 11th annual rock camp happening this summer. So if anybody would like to support them as well, like you can visit their website and donate at Ciarcela.com. I have partnered up with them. I have volunteered with them in support of Ciarcela, and they have vended and supported PunkCon as well. Yeah, so those would be the two main plugs for now. I think I mentioned the Riot Girl Carnival and my band, but like that's I think if you can just go ahead and scratch that. but the Riot Girl Carnival, like it's a fundraiser. So if folks want to just like if folks see any like any events Riot Girl Carnival related, we also have a band camp during the Black Lives Matter movement or 2020. I compiled a playlist or a compilation album, digital album available at riotgirlcarnivalbandcamp.com. And it's about of bands that have participated throughout Riot Girl Carnival. There's many that are missing, so volume 2 is coming. But that's another way of supporting Riot Girl Carnival, and all the money for that digital album also goes to Black Lives Matter LA. So yeah,
you're a rock star. I'm feeling like I'm in the presence of a rock star right now. Like awesome. So I had to, without my permission and against my will, step out briefly. Johnny, thank you. You nailed that. You would think you were me or something, the way you ran that interview, buddy.
You know, I do what I can do when I can do it. You know, that's, you know.
So were
I
you?
I just felt like it was just necessary to just kind of just step in for a little bit, you know.
Go team, you know.
Yeah.
So I was just gonna add, were you doing a wrap up already, Johnny? Were you trying to put a bow in it? Okay. Before you go, just please, by all means, send me links to everybody and everything you just mentioned so I can get, feel like I'm in the loop with everything and look at different things to support you as well. I want to go peruse all the things. Follow Punkdemic on Instagram as well. And let's, you know, get together after this or aside from this so that I can see where we can help out and work together. And with that, Johnny, go ahead, do your thing. You seem
all
like
right. You know, I feel like if I could have like instrumentation playing in the background, I feel like there would be like a whole lot of great visual clips, like a total montage of today's episode, because I just feel like it took me to places high and low and everywhere in between. And we don't really get a whole lot of conversations about academia and where the arts fit in with it, especially with the genres here. So I think that this was really enlightening. I appreciate you. Now, earlier before we got on, I was like, so do I address you as a Susie Riot, Miss Riot, Mrs. Riot? It's Dr. Riot. It's in the building. You know what I'm saying? Dr. Riot. Not to be mixed up with Dr. Dre, not to be mixed up with Dr. anybody else. Dr. Susie Riot has blessed us. Punkdemic, we appreciate your time this afternoon. For the Amazon, this is MC Johnny T signing off, reminding everyone to be kind to your mind and each other.
Very good.
Thank you.